text alerts. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Go to his head and his wife's aggravation. You soon end up dead. That's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend.
What security guarantees do you need for President Trump to be able to make a deal? Is it American troops, intelligent equipment? What is it?
Everything.
We have people waiting in another room right now. They're all here from Europe, biggest people in Europe. And they want to give protection. They feel very strongly about it. And we'll help them out with that. I think it's very important. I think it's very important to get the deal done.
Yeah, very encouraging notes yesterday after the meeting with President Trump, President Zelensky, other heads of state of Europe. Whenever there's these sort of unscripted moments, a gaggle of press, some fair somewhere. I don't know. It always cracks me up, the weird little noises that happen that are not a part of anything. Did you catch this one?
Able to make a deal. Is it American troops, intelligent equipment? What is it?
Somebody dropped the chamber pot? Like, what happened there to make that noise? I don't know. There's some little, usher's barricade where you've got those little poles that you can roll around on their circular bases, and it's got the velvet rope running between them with the little brass hooks on either end. And, just somebody's in their high heels, like, lost their balance and clanged up against the side of one. And so you get
intelligent equipment. What is it?
In the middle of an Oval Office meeting. Like, what made that noise? That's not a camera noise. That's not cufflinks. I don't know, anyway. The president saying, look, we'll help. Which is a signal. And then, of course, talking with Vladimir Putin afterwards. And as I feel, I say all the time, and so I feel a little bit, embarrassed about saying it. We'll see. Time will tell whether Zelensky is really willing, as Rubio clearly laid out on Sunday, whether he's willing to grant any of his territory, lost territory, essentially, in the east of Ukraine to Russia, how much he'll have to give, and will Vladimir Putin actually, agree to some kind of a ceasefire? Will the ceasefire come before the agreement or after the agreement? Will he agree to let Ukraine enter into defense agreements with NATO member states as long as Ukraine does not become a part of NATO? It still has NATO-style protection, Article 5 style protection. That's the one that says if one is attacked, all get attacked. Or all have to respond as if they've been attacked. So, we'll see. I still think that the, sort of long-term likelihood of something working is fairly small. But, maybe 10 or 20% chance. Just because if they were willing to solve this problem, I don't think we would have the war that we have right now. Both are not really willing. Both are not really willing. And this is not to do some moral equivocation that they're equal. Putin is the wrong. He is the aggressor. He's the evil one in this case. But still, in order to solve the problem, you're going to have both make concessions. And will they both be willing to? We'll see. 437-1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. By the way, look out your window. Go outside. I don't know. The alignment of what I... Mars and Venus, I assume. Pardon me for not knowing my astronomy all that well. But the vividness of the moon, which is at about an eighth of a sliver right now, a crescent moon with what I again think is Mars and Venus in almost alignment. It's just really cool looking. It's one of those things you notice, and if you buy a lot of lights, you won't notice it as much. But if you get anywhere and you're driving or you're walking and, there's no lights around, you look up, oh, that's really cool. So that's out yesterday and today. Kind of a neat little thing. UWF has established an Office of Military Services. They put out a press release. I think it was yesterday. Maybe it was the day before. It must have been yesterday because Sunday they wouldn't be putting out a press release. Could have been Friday, I suppose. Anyway, they put out a press release, says that they've kind of revamped this newly formed Office of Military Service, bringing together the Army and the Air Force ROTC programs and Military and Veterans Resource Center under Aylstock Witkin Kreese and Overholt Center for Leadership. Seems like a good thing. Anything more that we can do with UWF and the two counties and the military and to create coordination, all of that is, I mean, generally going to be very, very good. The real question in my mind for these kinds of programs is, do you have enough commitment to it? And not like, are you willing, but do you have enough resources? Because the story that I keep hearing is that every time we try to do something to, you know, help veterans or to transition people towards jobs or to coordinate, you know, job training or certificate training or any of that kind of stuff, it's like there's just never enough personnel to handle the volume of the requests. And so, you know, the more, in my opinion, the more is always better. EMS for Escambia County celebrated a milestone. I don't know if you, how much you, we've talked about it a bunch on the show, but the CORE program, which was launched, gosh, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Yeah. Okay. Fall of 2022. Yeah. And it was designed to solve the opioid overdoses that were going on. And you remember how the idea was that they would start this program where if people got an overdose and EMS had to show up, that EMS would basically say, you know, hey, are you interested in not doing this again? And, of course, the tragic news is that some people say, no, I'd like to get high again, and I'd like to run the risk of dying again, and I'd like to, I mean, literally, people say no. But if they say yes, and they really want to, you know, get help, we will put you on a program, on a drug treatment that takes away the ability to enjoy the high and takes away the desire for the high, and you can actually get off of opioids. And we've now got 400 people that they have treated, and it's state funded, which is good as long as that holds out, fingers crossed. First patient in February of 2023, just past 400. That's amazing. I mean, 400 people. 400 lives affected, 400 addicts. And look, if the success rate is only 50%, and it appears to be much higher than that, it appears to be much more in the, you know, 80-ish vicinity is the kind of what I remember talking about with Eric Gilmore and other people from EMS and the county. But if you, even if it was 50%, 200 people, that's fantastic. There's no negative to that. This is a genuinely great thing that the county has been doing for a couple of years now. 437-1620. I'm going to tell you a sort of a headline note, and I apologize because I don't know all the details. I went looking a little bit yesterday and couldn't find anything. I didn't make any calls, so I probably just didn't do enough research. I apologize. But the Garsam Point Toll Bridge is advertising, and the FDOT Turnpike on Facebook is advertising that the Garsam Bridge is going cashless. Now, PJ, do you ever drive the Garsam Point Bridge, ever?
I think I have once.
Yeah, same. I've been through there a few times, and when it was toll-free for a while, I would use it a little bit more. And, of course, for a while, that was what we had to do if we were going anywhere when the regular three-mile bridge was out. But let me infer from what I am not sure about to what I think this means. I think this means that you won't be able to pay cash anymore. I think you'll have to use SunPass is what I think this means. I assume you can drive. Can you not drive through it now? This is how infrequently I've used it. I assume you could just drive through it now with the SunPass. But if you know, text me, 437-1620. Like I said, you know, you give me the big headline. I'm literally reading you the big photo of Garsam Point. Learn more. Cashless tolling coming soon to Garsam Point Bridge. And then I click on the learn more, and it doesn't tell me anything. So I was very annoyed by that. But that's what I know at this point, is it's going cashless. What I suspect that means, it either means you can finally start doing toll by plate and SunPass, which would amaze me if that's the case, because I assumed we were already doing that. What I suspect it means is there will be no more cash collection at that toll, which, you know, sort of makes sense. 517 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This commercial is for people like you, people who enjoy taking long hot showers, who never want to run out of hot water ever again. Hi, this is Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we are pleased to offer natural gas tankless water heaters. With a natural gas tankless water heater, you'll be able to save space, money, and energy every month. Plus, never run out of hot water. You could qualify for significant rebates from your hometown gas provider just for replacing your existing water heater with a natural gas tankless water heater. You're just a quick phone call away from endless hot water. Time is limited, so call Barbieri Plumbing for all the details. And remember, Barbary Plumbing always uses the flat rate pricing system, so you'll know exactly what you will pay before the work begins. Call Barbary Plumbing today, 850-477-8782.
License RF 1106-7749.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small, loud or quiet, find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Well, Stephanie, gently extend your arm. Extend your middle finger. Very good. Well done.
Oh my God, we just watched Naked Gun again last night, kind of halfway in preparation for when the newer Naked Gun comes, you know, easy to home and not have to pay for it. but it's funny, as many times I've seen that movie, there were still parts of it I didn't remember and caught me by surprise. It's such a classic. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. You guys are the best. All I have to do is ask a question, and I get numerous texts answering me, yes, Andrew, they have cash collection at Garson Point toll station there, and what they're going to is entirely cashless, so it'll be the same as Bob Sykes, where it'll be only you drive through, no more cash payments, just either by toll by plate or, you know, toll by SunPass or some compatible pass, because other states obviously registered as well. So, excellent. Perfect. Well, that's what I suspected, but again, having not driven through there in a long time, thank you so much. You guys are the best. 521 on News Radio 92.3. If you ever want to text me, 437-1620. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. The Texas House speeding up its redistricting process after Democrats that fled the state last week have returned following a deal to end their protest. Their House Speaker Dustin Burrows warns lawmakers their schedules will be demanding as they work to finalize the new Republican-drawn map that could increase GOP seats.
This whole thing has become entirely a tit-for-tat retaliation, right? Like, the Democrats in Democrat-controlled states are threatening that if Texas does this, that they're going to retaliate by even more gerrymandering than they already do. Right. And it looks to me like there's nothing really stopping the gerrymandering escalation. I mean, states already do it, and as we've noted many times, Illinois is one of the worst gerrymandered states in the entire nation. I happen to know because I know their geography really well. California is fairly bad, I'm told. But each of these, but the Democrats are, and Florida does gerrymander. I mean, so does Texas. Not as badly, but still gets done. And it just looks like everybody's answer is, well, you're going to do it. I'm going to do it more. Okay, you're going to do it more. I'm going to do it more. And then eventually we're just going to have all these, you know, half the states are going to be all Republican. Half the states are going to be all Democrat. It's crazy. It's anyway, go ahead, sir.
Old Jerry's always out there mandering. Confidence.
When you say that, all you do is remind me of this. This is quite a statement. The worst movie I have ever seen.
What movie is that?
Jerry.
I've never seen it.
Casey Affleck and Matt Damon spend the day getting lost in the like desert of Southwest America, and the gimmick in the movie is that they use the word Jerry for everything. Hey, Jerry, up that hill, Jerry. And then they wind up, I'm going to blow the ending for you because I don't want you to watch this movie. It's so bad. And at the end, they die. Because they get lost in the hills and they just die because that's what happens.
It sounds like such a stupid movie. I would love it.
It is the worst because some movies are so bad they become entertaining. This was just bad. It was just terrible. So every time anybody uses the word Jerry in any kind of unconventional sense, it always makes me have, you know, movie flashbacks to this. God, I wish I could just forget it. Anyway, go ahead, sir. You were going to start with another story.
Just burned into your
It memory. Really is.
Well, confidence in the government's ability to ensure food safety has now fallen to a record low, with apparently only 53% of Americans believing that there is a fair amount of trust. That's down from 70% between 2007 and 2019, the decline driven mainly by Democrats. And talks between Air Canada and their union representing 10,000 striking flight attendants are picking back up following a labor board ruling that declared the walkout illegal. That strike started on Saturday. Air Canada halted plans for limited service after the union advised members to defy a government return to work order.
Thank goodness my connecting flight to Saskatchewan is now going to be back on. So thank you for that uplifting news today.
Well, anytime. You know, you never know who's on their way to Calgary, right?
I believe it's Calgary. All right, David, thanks so much for
Maybe
the update.
Maybe it's Cal-Jerry.
No. Oh, why? Why? Why don't you, Jerry, I'm back into the newsroom, Jerry. All right, 525 on News Radio. There must be, at most, two, maybe three people listening who have seen this movie. And I feel sorry for all of us that we endured it. Oh, I love this. Somebody followed up with me on the, you know, I talked about the moon and what I said was likely Venus and Mars because they're the closest. Says from top to bottom, if you're looking up tonight, it's or this morning, it's moon and then Jupiter and then Venus. Okay, so Jupiter's the big one. Just kidding. Anyway. Anyway, so thank you. I appreciate that. 437-1620, the Navy has been ordered, I guess, to cut 35% of their civilian PAO staff. Their regular PAO staff. That's right. Public affairs. They're going to downsize their public affairs. Now, you might say, well, and why does this matter? Well, because, you know, I know some of these folks, right? And not just that I can't imagine, for example, that NAS Pensacola is going to get rid of everybody, but NAS Pensacola has three or four. It's a hybrid. Some of them are in the service and some of them are civilian. And same at Whiting. And so I don't know if this is going to mean any changes for us here locally, but as somebody who very much engages with the public affairs office at these two institutions on a relatively regular basis, and I'm sure there are people like me across the nation, this is kind of a big deal. So the Navy is basically downsizing its PAO staff. Marine Corps is not being directed to cut any civilian billets, but it will be subject to the same hiring and contracting practices. This was an article in Defense One, which is a very good one. But yeah, 35% reduction signed by Navy Secretary John Phelan earlier this month. There are about 400 civilian PAOs working for the Navy. FYI, the primary PAO at NAS Pensacola, Bruce Cummins, is a civilian. And, you know, they've always been civilians before that. I don't know what this means or how the cuts are. They even say they don't know how the cuts are going to be decided. It's more of a top-line announcement. Would they consider swapping in a uniformed public affairs officer? You know, for example, the Blue Angels public affairs officer is part of the team, okay, and has always been a non-civilian. You know, which kind of makes sense. And most of your, you know, military units here or your, you know, your 06 level commands, they have affairs, public affairs staff. They don't all, but, you know, most of them do, and or some of them do, I should say. And I don't know what this is going to mean. All we really know is that they're making cuts. So, slashing Defense Department civilian jobs has been a key feature of the second Trump administration, as we know. Going back to Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's directive in February to reduce the numbers by 5 to 8% alongside a hiring freeze that rescinded existing job offers. If that pans out, that'd be more than 60,000 of the 770,000 civilians who work for the Department of Defense at the beginning of the year. Some have left voluntarily through buyouts, so we'll see. But again, as somebody who, you know, we engage with the Public Affairs Office all the time, and you know, so does Channel 3, so does PNJ, and they're a key source of us being able to get you information, and they put it out on social media. So, you know, this is important to us, depending on what the results are, how it eventually shapes up. Sixth-generation fighter, since we're kind of in the military news vicinity, Northrop Grumman has sort of... I haven't been following this all that closely, but we have the one contract for the F-47, the NGAD, which is, you know, in development, and apparently that's primarily an Air Force platform, and the Navy is basically saying, we don't just want to be the secondary version of the F-47. We'd like to have something entirely different that is more suited to our needs and also suited more to our platforms, carrier-based, right? Because the F-35 has the Air Force version, the Marine version, vertical takeoff and landing version, and the Navy version, a carrier-based version. And it's not obvious that that way of doing things has been a raging success. And so the Navy is saying, yeah, why don't we have our own thing? Of course, in an era of A, cutbacks, and new platforms are very, very expensive, and B, what seems to be a military-wide transition towards unmanned platforms, you know, the high price tag of developing a brand new sixth-generation manned aircraft for naval use only might be a hard sell. But then again, if we're going to be operating in an environment like, you know, China, where these things might be more appropriate, necessary, and utilized, maybe they've got something going. So, you know, we'll see. But I just thought that was an interesting development from the Navy.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump, along with leaders from the European Union and NATO, want this to happen.
The war is going to end, and this gentleman wants it to end, and Vladimir Putin wants it to end.
Wall Street Journal reporting this morning, Ukrainian President Zelensky may be open to proportional land swaps with Russia, and
we could soon see face-to-face meetings involving Zelensky, Trump, and Putin. That follows this extraordinary meeting at the White House. The deal that seems to be emerging here would require Ukraine to cede some territory to Russia in exchange for security guarantees.
And Fox's Doug Luzader. The strike over between Air Canada and the union representing 10,000 flight attendants. Tentative deal is reached between the two sides. Union telling their membership it must fully cooperate with resumption of operations. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 77 and partly cloudy in Pensacola. We've got our forecast with Brooke Richardson on the way in just a few minutes. Officials are investigating after a 48-year-old man was found stabbed to death in his front yard yesterday. Officials say Timothy Prayer was found dead in his yard on Dogwood Drive Monday afternoon. Officials say he was found by a home health nurse that arrived at the home for an appointment. The Escambia Sheriff's Office is currently looking for 27-year-old Shayna Gully for questioning in the case. Family members say Gully was Pryor's live-in girlfriend. The two had reportedly been involved in an argument. Pryor had spent the night before in a local motel to get some space from that situation. Officials say Gully also has an active warrant for domestic violence battery. If you have any information on her location, contact the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Florida's set a new tourism record. Governor Ron DeSantis announcing yesterday the state welcomed almost 34.5 million visitors in the second quarter of this year. He says that is a record for the second quarter of any year. The governor says it cements Florida's reputation as the nation's premier travel destination. Now, Florida residents being asked to keep an eye out for an elusive species. The FWC announcing yesterday it wants people to report sightings of the rainbow snake. They say it's non-venomous, a semi-aquatic snake whose population has declined in recent decades. That's due in part to a decline in its primary food source, the American eel. The rainbow snake has also dealt with habitat loss. The FWC wants to find out where in Florida the snakes are still present. An FWC official says every sighting report gives them valuable data. You can check out their website at myfwc.com to find out what a rainbow snake looks like and how to report a sighting. Well, Escambia Fire Rescue hosting a public physical abilities test next week. That's going to be held Tuesday, August 26th at the Pensacola Fire Department. And that test is open to anybody that wants to join the fire department. The testing includes push-ups, sit-ups, a 1.5-mile run, a charged hose pull, Kaiser sled, and a tower evolution. If you pass, you could go on and become a cadet. The county says certified firefighters receive benefits including competitive pay and insurance, a $48.96 schedule, paid holidays, and incentive pay. Find out more at myescambia.com. It's 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We do have a small chance of rain this afternoon, 30% overall, high near 92 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Wednesday, 30% chance of rain, high near 92. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Going into Thursday, 30% chance of rain, high near 91. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Second Echo, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
77 this morning, partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. SpaceX-owned Starlink has suffered a brief network outage in parts of the U.S. The network outage was the second in about 2 weeks for Starlink. Elon Musk's aerospace and defense contractor also successfully launched a fresh group of satellites to bolster its Starlink network. Bloomberg News reports the Trump administration is discussing taking a 10% stake in Intel in a deal that could see the U.S. government become the chipmaker's largest stakeholder. At Intel's current market value, a 10% stake could be worth roughly $10.4 billion. OpenAI has launched a subscription plan in India priced at nearly $4.60 a month, the ChatGPT maker's most affordable offering yet, as it looks to grow in its second largest market by user base. The new plan, called ChatGPT Go, provides expanded access to the latest model, GPT-5, and other features at a lower cost. Futures are currently mixed. That's Your Money Now.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. PenAir Credit Union's high-yield checking? 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts. And 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA. PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
ADX Communications, the family-owned broadcaster behind Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist, is looking for our next great electronics technician. You'll handle the installation, maintenance, and repair of studio and transmitter gear, network systems, and more, keeping our award-winning radio stations sounding their very best. We offer competitive pay, medical, dental, and vision coverage, a 401k with company match, plus paid vacation and holidays. If you have the skills, the drive, and the passion for serving our community, apply now at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX Communications, serving our communities and looking for you. If you love electronics, reach out today. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Hey, Pensacola.
News Radio 92.3 wants to know what you think about our programming. Join the Listener Advisory Board and fill out our quick survey. Your feedback helps us shape the shows you love and discover new ones, whether it's news, talk, sports, or other programming. We want to hear your suggestions and ideas. It takes just a few minutes, and it makes a big difference. Visit newsradio923.com today to fill out the survey. Let's make your listening experience even better. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, we have Jimmy Petronas, our congressman for Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Great to be with you. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. And it's been a couple of weeks due to your schedule, my schedule, everybody's schedule. But glad to have you back. I know one of the things that you have been doing is, I guess you were on a kind of an Alaska tour slash Coast Guard facility inspection. Is that what was happening?
Correct. So I'm on the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, and the subcommittee I'm on has oversight over the Coast Guard.
Oh.
So Coast Guard got an awful lot of attention in the big, beautiful bill, a lot of money. You know, as you know, the Coast Guard, you know, a lot of people don't realize it, but a lot of what they use is all secondhand equipment. Their helicopters are all former Navy helicopters. Their vessels are very old. And so this was an opportunity to kind of reinvigorate the Coast Guard with some resources. And at the same time, you know, China has got, you know, almost a dozen polar ice breakers. Russia has more than that. China's not even a polar nation,
right?
Or an Arctic nation. So here, the United States, literally, we had three ice breakers. And so we had changed the laws, my predecessors did, in order to allow us to buy an ice breaker as opposed to have one built for the Coast Guard. So we were commissioning the first ice breaker since 1999. With the Storrs, it was built over in Mississippi, and now it's a part of the Coast Guard's, you know, fleet.
Oh, that's fantastic! Yeah, there's been this conversation about us kind of falling behind in ice breaking capability, and you know, something the average Floridian doesn't think an awful lot about, but it's a vital, you know, part of controlling and keeping safe our ability to operate in that region, especially vis-a-vis Russia, and as you said, you know, with China as well. I did not know the helicopters were all secondhand. We trained the pilots here at Whiting. I did not think about that as being secondhand material. What else did you?
Yeah, so all the 60s, those are all secondhand. The 65s, the small ones, those are being phased out. The Eurocopters, those are being phased out. So the Coast Guard is going to go to a fleet of 60s. And so the new 60s, here's one of the realities of it. The little 65s used to be able to fit inside the hangars on the cutters. The Blackhawks, the 60s, they can't.
Yeah.
So now the Blackhawks that are going to be coming in, they're going to have collapsible tails and collapsible rotors. So you actually can bring them inside. They can still, do engagements and work off the back of the current cutters. But if you need to put them up while the ship is underway, they're going to need some modifications. So, but the 60s are just more of a workhorse. The 65s, they just have shorter range, but they're still a very capable, dependable unit.
I know for anybody who's, you know, a lot of our audience is former military, but, you know, aircraft carriers, foldable wings, all that kind of stuff. But it still reminds me of the old portable, foldable bike that you kind of bend in half at the mainframe and carry
that.
Like a briefcase. Like that's what they're going to do to the 60s. Like you say, the ones that are used by the Coast Guard. Fascinating. And we are
little 8-inch wheels.
Yeah, right. And you know, it's funny because we're obviously a major Coast Guard base here at NAS Pensacola, you know, and it's fluctuated up and down. Like we've had the Cypress here for forever. And we've got, you know, had a bunch of cutters and now some of them have retired, but they're building more. Is it Panama City is building them? But there's other places building them too, right?
Yeah, so Panama City's building them. Austell over Mobile is so Eastern in Panama City.
Okay.
Austell over Mobile. So you got Bollinger over in Mississippi. So and to that you throw on top of that as these U.S. shipyards are building vessels for the Coast Guard. And then the president wanting to like quadruple down on U.S. shipbuilding. This is good for the entire Gulf Coast. But, you know, we've gotten in a position where we are not the shipbuilding force that we were of World War II. I mean, China is putting out more vessels in a year or a month than we put out in a year. So, you know, we're at a disadvantage. And if we have to stand up and put more product into the water, right now we're going to have to make a commitment and investment and give some flexibility to our shipyards to be able to do the type of work that I think is best for our national security.
Yeah, it's not like we have, you know, if it were building tanks, you can convert car manufacturing to tank manufacturing. When it comes to boats, we don't even have the manufacturer. Like, we just don't have it. We have to, you know, we have to develop that capability.
That's right.
You're headed here, right, today? You're going to the base, to NAS Pensacola?
Yeah, I'll be at NAS Pensacola today, making some rounds and, you know, just really just kind of getting up to speed. I've been told so many times about good folks, you know, Mike Kohler, you know, I love to tease him, but Mike's been really good about staying on top of me regarding the needs of the installation. So we were able to secure some money for the rehabilitation of the Blue Angels hangar. It's, you know, what an enormous sense of pride is shown, you know, every July of every year on the beach. And, you know, it was funny that that was about the third time I'd been to the Blue Angels on Pensacola Beach. And this is the first time I realized, hell, everybody out there, they're all from Pensacola. You know, so it's so awesome that there's that much love locally and pride for what takes place. And that our hometown, you know, Blue Angels get to be celebrated.
No, it's fantastic. And yeah, no, Mike is very emphatic about base things. And, you know, he's working on that Navy Boulevard approach project, I know. And, you know, I would hate to even guess, but I'm assuming that the over under is at least 10 on how many times he's mentioned to you base buffering, protection, compatibility, and those kinds of things, because I know he says it all the time.
That's important.
Right.
You know, it's all important because all that is NAS Pensacola is a massive economic engine.
Right.
And we need to do everything we can. There's a lot we can do outside the fence, and the state of Florida has been doing some. But, you know, we're going to do our best to make sure that we're contributing.
You know, obviously the big story in the news right now is the meeting today where President, you know, of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, is going to come to the White House with entourage of other European leaders and meet with President Trump and talk about the possibility of making a deal with Russia after the meeting he had with Vladimir Putin. I handicap it as a low likelihood of success because if they were willing to concede, there would have been concessions before. You know, neither side wants to end this for obvious reasons. But I don't know. What's your take on all this?
So, you know, I think as soon as the meeting was over and Trump made the announcement that we're doing a meeting with Zelensky in D.C. this week with European leaders, imagine Zelensky was on the phone calling every single one of those European leaders that he could convince that is a head of state to make that trip to D.C. So they're going to try to put as much pressure on Trump as they can. But, you know, I mean, here's I think what's important to note. The war doesn't stop without the United States. I truly do not think that Europe will step up unless the United States just totally goes into isolationist mode. I do not feel like Europe will stop what's happening in Russia. So, yeah, there's going to have to be some type of deal cut between, you know, Russia getting what they want and Ukraine getting what they want. And unfortunately, neither one of these guys is going to get 100% of what they want. That's you know, to me, is a satisfactory deal. But of course, Zelensky's going to, these are high emotionally charged individuals because Zelensky, you know, he feels like he was the one who was sucker punched. You know, they both lost thousands of soldiers and then the civilians that were affected.
Yeah.
You know, so this is not going to be an easy decision to make. And Zelensky's going to look like he's saving face, you know, and Trump just wants the bloodshed to stop. You know, he truly cares about the loss of life. But, you know, in order to do that, I mean, the United States doesn't want to be in a war against Russia because, you know, of an impasse between, you know, Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah, and I agree with you. One of the things that I think has come clear from listening to him, and people maybe don't always think about it, but, you know, he was born right at the tail end of World War II. I mean, you know, he hates war. He grew up in a post-war environment, but he hates the death. I mean, really viscerally, you can hear it in his voice when he talks. And that's why when he talks about things like, you know, Golden Dome or nuclear war and, you know, denuclearization, like all of these things, it's all because, I mean, he really genuinely hates the loss of life and, you know, just despises that, which is admirable. Good. You know, we should be in that vicinity. One of the things that I had wanted to talk with you about that we had not gotten a chance to is one of the byproducts of the so-called Big Beautiful Bill was a change in the way gamblers calculate their income. And I thought this was such a fascinating thing. The professional gamblers are losing their minds over this because, as I understand it, their gains, you know, their winnings is 100% of income. But then, of course, you offset that with your losses. And so, you know, the way they make their money is on volume. Just like the house makes its money on volume and getting a small percentage, they make their money on volume. But now, sure, under the big, beautiful bill, they can only deduct 90% of their losses, which many of them say, well, I mean, that's going to put us out of business because our margin is much less than 10%, right? And so they can't continue to do what they're doing. Do you know, was this known in advance, your thoughts on this? Because it seems like a really, you know, like the stock market, you know, you get to offset all of your losses, all your gains with losses, but not so in gambling anymore.
So the formula out there, if you play blackjack by the same rules that the house has to play against, you have a chance, I think, of less than 0.5% to do better than the house. And the house is going to be depending there, or, you know, hoping that your emotions are going to make you do things you shouldn't do and you're not going to have that discipline. These professional gamblers, they're disciplined. So when you're looking at what that 10% changes in their tax rates, that literally is almost, it could be just enough to put them in trying to find another profession.
Yeah.
But any bill like the Big Beautiful Bill, it requires a true up. It's got to be fiscally sound. So, you know, there will be different manipulations of numbers and tax rates and provisions of the bill in order to create income or reduce taxes in order to offset each other. And this is no different. I'm sure some staffer in the Finance and Tax Committee or Ways and Means Committee went out and saw this as a way, you know, probably felt like this is a discretionary income. But at the end of the day, I mean, you do have a real living, breathing profession of people that gamble for a living. We've been hearing about it, and I'm sure that, you know, there will be every attempt to try to get this corrected in some type of a future legislation. We'll just see if Congress has an appetite for it.
Yeah, it's an interesting question about, and that's, I find that encouraging. I'm not a big fan of gambling per se, but, you know, I think it, basically professional gamblers, like you say, would have to find jobs as what, actuaries or stockbrokers, and, you know, do something else for a living.
Yeah, well,
but the recreational gambler would be the one who might.
You can write up 100% of your stock loss.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and you can have 100% of your stock losses. So I get their gripe.
Yeah,
you know, I do understand that.
Last thing that I had kind of wanted to talk about with you is you made an interesting comment. You did an interview with The Hill, kind of a TV show, podcast, whatever it was, on I think it was Friday, and you were talking about the need to lower interest rates as an offset against the overall effect of the tariffs, which another, what, $24 billion in revenue last month for tariffs. It's something people don't talk a lot about, but it's a massive source of income for the United States. But can you maybe just do us a 2-minute or 1-minute kind of explanation of what you think ought to be done in order to keep the economy humming as import prices keep, you know, are high, right, because of the tariffs?
Sure, and you really do your show prep. yeah, look, that's the way I feel. I mean, businesses, some businesses are being directly affected by the tariffs. I get that, and some of them have U.S. Investments. But, you know, you look at the typical business when they borrow money in order to cash flow their business. You know, my family's restaurant, we use a line of credit in order to make the most out of our abilities at running the restaurants. That line of credit, when interest rates are up, it's a higher cost of business for that operator. So this is, you know, now you go throw tariffs into the mix, and that's why I really appreciate where President Trump is going, is, you know, he wants to help those businesses that are being affected by the tariffs. Some of them are U.S.-based. So let me get you some lower interest rates out there so your cost of carry of money when you borrow money is less to offset some of the tariffs. And look, you say what you want to say. I think Jerome Powell is, if you're in government at that level, it's political. It is political. Jerome Powell had a number of reductions during the end of the Biden administration, during the election, probably to try to jumpstart, to try to change things, and got an enormous amount of leverage placed on him. But I feel right now, if we're going to try to true up our trade and differences with tariffs across the world, then let's take care of our local businesses and the people even that are trying to acquire their first home with a lower interest rate.
So, and which would largely, I'm guessing, but you correct me if I'm wrong, and I love your perspective on this as a former CFO, right, of Florida, you get this stuff, is much better than I do, is that in the long run, if we can onshore manufacturing, we don't have to have the high impact of tariffs. But that's that transitional. You know, how do you get over that hump of businesses who are, A, dependent on loans? Obviously, they're running financing for their businesses, but also are affected dramatically by tariffs until we can get stuff onshored and the production is local and they can be saving money through that. You got to do something because otherwise you're just going to go away.
100%. Because you're not going to build a million square foot factory in Florida overnight. It's going to take, you know, a minimum of, you know, 3 to 4 years. And so that business has got to make that decision. They got to look at the political environment that we're in. So the political environment means, you know, you really got 2 years because you hope everything stays strong and well through the midterms, that their predictability in government stays the same.
Right,
so,
right.
I mean, there's that volatility. This is what the president's pushing so hard. He wants to get this stuff done yesterday because he wants to give these businesses, those that have the capital to invest, the comfort to make that investment. And once they get this, their momentum going, this is all part of Trump 2.0 with the economy we had in 2019.
Yeah.
You know, it's I'm a believer in this guy. I feel like you got to trust him. You got to give him some discretion. And I'm sorry, those folks with Trump derangement syndrome out there, this is what the election in November resulted in, and I'm ready to give maximum potential to the Trump administration.
Jimmy Petronis is our congressman for Florida District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you so much for the generous time that you give us and our audience and answering my questions, and we'll talk to you again next week, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. By the way, I was a little bit surprised in a good way, refreshing to hear. He didn't promise. He can't promise. But he didn't promise that they would revise that tax rule to go back to the 100% losses deduction for gamblers. But I can't imagine any other way they're going to do it. I mean, that seems like the way forward. But he basically indicated that he thought there would be an amendment that would probably change it back in that direction. So we'll see. You know, again, not like suddenly the spokesperson for professional gamblers or anything like that. But I do think that change in the law was dramatically adverse to their industry. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Summer's heating up, and so is the menu at Sonny's Barbecue. This is Eldon with Sonny's. Sink your teeth into delicious competition-style St. Louis ribs, smoked to perfection and ready for a standing ovation. Or try the new barbecue slider sampler. 3 bold sandwiches and 1 happy belly. Feeling a little tangy? Grab the Tennessee Vinegar pulled pork sandwich. It's got a zip that you won't soon forget. Don't forget to save room for the strawberry corn cakes. They're sweet, seasonal, and only for summer. Visit sunnysbarbecue.com for the location nearest you.
Okay, so it's going to be about $1,200.
Wait, did you even figure out what was wrong?
Well, my guy said something about the flux capacitor. Oh, and we had some extra parts.
Extra parts? That's a no for me.
Don't settle for vague answers and mystery charges. Head to Garage 850 on Sun Valley Drive just off Michigan Avenue. Rusty and his ASE certified crew actually explain what's going on and get it done right. Specials online now at garage850.com.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops. And they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Oh, bother.
You know you need a little rush this morning. Oh, Yeah, 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy morning. Happy Tuesday morning to you. Kind of cool. Look outside. Put your head up and look to the east, and you'll see the moon, and you'll see Jupiter and Venus. They're pretty vivid this morning if you get a chance to take a look at that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Andrew, I know you've been waiting to hear more about this one. Jury selection was postponed on Monday in Florida for the trial connected to the murder of rapper Julio Fulio. Alicia Andrews is accused of helping plan the ambush-style shooting that killed the performer. His real name was Charles Jones II. That killing happened in Tampa last June. Hillsborough County State Attorney Susie Lopez says Andrews and four others attacked Jones before he was shot and killed in a hotel parking lot. Andrews has pleaded not guilty.
Okay. Julio Fulio?
Julio Fulio, the world-famous Florida rapper.
Yeah, I don't really live in the current rap world a lot, so that's not a name I'm familiar with. Is it a name you are familiar with?
Absolutely not.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. But a murder is a murder. So, yeah. All right. David, thanks for the update. We'll be back in just a minute. Oh, interesting stuff going on at the Pensacola City Council meeting last week. A lot of fighting over the stormwater fee.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Will the leaders of two countries at war finally meet? I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
It's going to require both sides to receive, but also to give. In essence, one side's not going to get 100% here. Each side is going to have to make some concessions.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio on Fox. After Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky had a White House meeting that was not contentious, like in February, and was joined by other European leaders days after President Trump's summit in Alaska with Russian leader Vladimir Putin.
Important discussions as we work to end the killing and stop the war in Ukraine. We're all working for the same goal, very simple goal. We want to stop the killing.
The next steps will be a bilateral meeting between Zelensky and Putin, followed by a trilateral meeting that includes President Trump. Now, the president immediately called Putin to begin setting that up. The deal that's emerging would likely require Ukraine to cede some land to Russia, and in exchange, Ukraine would get a commitment of protection from the U.S. and European allies. The Wall Street Journal is reporting this morning that Zelensky is open to the idea of what they're calling proportional land swaps with Russia.
Fox's Doug Luzhater. North Korea's leader is angry over U.S. and South Korean military drills, warning they could ignite a war. Kim Jong-un also vowed to expand his nuclear arsenal. Hurricane Erin remains a Category 3 storm, and though it's forecast to move away from the U.S., Fox meteorologist Janice Dean tells us it's going to grow.
Even though the storm is not going to make landfall, it's so big, we're still going to feel tropical storm impacts, as well as strong rip currents, huge waves. It's going to be, you know, really dangerous to go out in the water along the East Coast over the next few days.
Fox meteorologist Janice Jean again. Flooding concerns have led to mandatory evacuation orders in North Carolina's Outer Banks. Air Canada getting ready to fly again after working on a tentative agreement to end a flight attendant strike that's grounded flights since Saturday. Air Canada hopes to resume service this evening. America's listening to Fox News.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
An official message from Medicare.
I turned 65 this year. I knew it was time to figure out Medicare, and I had questions, like when to enroll and how to enroll. So I went straight to the official source, Medicare.gov, to get the facts about Medicare. I found answers to all my questions, and I'm ready to get started. And so can you. Just go to Medicare.gov to get the real facts about Medicare.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
As Israel escalates the war against Hamas, planning to take over Gaza City, it has not formally commented on reports that Hamas has agreed to terms of a ceasefire proposed by mediators that could free more hostages. And there's new controversy at another Israeli border.
A group calling itself Pioneers of the Bashan entered southern Syria illegally on Monday, made up of families.